Turning in your Bibles this morning to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 11. You all look pretty well awake this morning. Thought about asking the deacons to maybe patrol the aisles and tap people on the shoulder if they went to sleep. But you all look pretty good. Deuteronomy chapter 11. We just want to read the first verse. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge, and his statutes, and his judgments, and his commandments, always. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you again that you have preserved our lives through another year. And we pray that as we stand on the peak of this new year today, we ask for your continued blessing and protection and help. We feel very keenly our need for you, and that without you we can do nothing. And we pray that each day of this new year we would become more and more dependent upon our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray now that you would help us as we look into your word for a few moments and help us to see things from your law today. That will be a help to us in this coming year, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is a day that doesn't happen very often. It's not only the first day of the week, it's not only the first day of a new month, but it's also the first day of a new year. The last time that New Year's Day came on Sunday was January the 1st, 1995, 11 years ago. The next time that it will happen, if the Lord has not returned, will be January 1st, 2012. Think about the things for just a minute that have changed in your life in the last 11 years. Beside the fact that you are 11 years older, think about the things that have taken place in your life since January the 1st, 1995. 11 years ago today, Gail and I had 5 sons. Today we still have 5 sons. But in addition, we now have 3 daughters, 3 daughters-in-law, and 6 grandchildren. That's a pretty big change in the course of 11 years. Sunday morning, January 1st, 1995, found some of you here embarking on those very wonderful, carefree, little or no responsibility teenage years. Today, Sunday morning, January the 1st, 2006, finds some of you married. Not only married, but with children of your own. And more responsibility than you ever dreamed that you would have. On this day 11 years ago, perhaps after the service that day, or maybe before, there were relatives and friends that we called up to wish a Happy New Year. Some of those relatives and friends we can't call up on January the 1st. 2006, because they passed off this earthly scene. Think about the incredible changes that have taken place in your life in the last 11 years. And think about how many of those changes you predicted. Think about how many of those changes you knew were coming. How many of those changes you were expecting. And then think about the next time that January the 1st will fall on Sunday in 2012. What will that day be like? What changes are going to take place in your life and in the life of your loved ones and friends, in the life of this church over the course of the next 6 years? Kind of unsettling to sit here today and look back over the last 11 years. And then, based on the changes that took place in our lives in those 11 years, to contemplate what might come in the future. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 11, the children of Israel are sitting, at least to some extent, where we're sitting today. We know from the language of verse 2 here that these words are being said on a specific day. They're being said on a particular day, a day that is marked. It's interesting how the Spirit of God marks particular days in the Bible. Doesn't put a date on them, but He marks them nonetheless. And He marks this day. We see there in verse 2, Moses saying to the people, "And know ye this day." This day. This particular day. Just as this day is set aside on our calendar. This particular day. So Moses is setting aside this particular day to the children of Israel. God's people in Deuteronomy chapter 11 are on the brink of a new beginning. They're on the brink of entering a new land. They're fixing to go somewhere where they've never been before. And that's what a new year is, isn't it? Stop and think about it. It's a new beginning. It's a new land. We could describe it that way. It's somewhere that we've never been before. The old year is behind us. And a new year on this day stands before us in much the same way that the promised land stood before the children of Israel. And so the things that are said here, I think, are applicable to you and I on this first day of January 2006. With that in mind, I'd like for us to look at Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 1 again. "Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and keep His charge, and His statutes, and His judgments, and His commandments, always." God, through Moses, begins his warnings and exhortations with a verse that we can write one word over. And that one word is obedience. "Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God." And we read that, and no doubt every person in this room this morning would say, without any hesitation, that we love God. We love Him. But before we make that statement, we better think about how God defines love. "Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep His charge and His statutes and His judgments and His commandments always." God's definition of love is obedience to His Word. Nothing more, nothing less. God manifest in the flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ defined love the exact same way in the New Testament. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, He said, If ye love me, keep my commandments. In spite of what we say, and in spite of how eloquently or how fervently or how passionately we might say it, the measure of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ is the measure of our obedience to His Word. All of His Word. Not just the parts we like. Not just the parts that are pleasant or popular. But all of His Word. And I think that's the message that the Spirit of God is conveying here in this first verse. All of the Word of God. And it's made up of His charge and His statutes and His judgments and His commandments. God understands how we think. I've told you before, and I couldn't find the picture. It was so impressive. I took a picture of it. In fact, somebody asked me about it here a while back. At the aquarium, at the North Carolina Aquarium at Southport, there's a sign there, and the essence of the sign is, don't throw trash here. But they came up with a whole sign full of words to cover that. Don't throw, pitch, toss, and on and on and on it went. And I ran and got the camera, and Gail says, what are you going to take a picture of? You can't take a picture of these fish because I said, I'm not taking a picture of the fish. I'm taking a picture of this sign. Because it is a testimony to the nature of man. We're always looking for a loophole. Always looking for a loophole. And God knows that. And that's why He says here, there's charges and statutes and judgments and commandments. We can't look at Him one day and say, well, Lord, that I didn't obey that because it wasn't a commandment. It was a charge. It was a judgment. And I told you that you're to keep my charges and my statutes and my judgments and my commandments. All of the Word of God. How long are we to keep them? Always. Always. It's an interesting word. If you have Microsoft Word, go home and try to type always. You just about can't do it. Because when you type it, it's going to throw an S in there. It's figuring out, I know what this dummy is trying to spell, and I'm going to help him out. I sat there for 10 minutes yesterday typing always, and it kept coming out always. But finally, if you put a space between each word, it fools the program. And it'll let you type always. It's an incredibly important word. When we read it, we probably think, gee, that's a long time. Always. You know, one of the problems with diet and exercise is this word, always. I've got to do it for the rest of my life. Not really interested in that. See, when we read this word always here, keep His charge and His statutes and His judgments and His commandments always, if we're not careful, we'll let that word be a burden to us. But it's not a burden. We think, I don't know if I can be obedient that long. I don't know if I can do that. This word isn't a burden, it's a blessing. And I'd like to show you the blessing that it is. Turn back for just a minute. Keep your place here and turn back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. I'm going to read some familiar verses here. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now notice verse 8. And the evening and the morning were the second day. Verse 13. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Verse 19. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Verse 23. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And verse 31. At the end of the verse, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, we've just read the word day six times in these verses. It's word number 3117 in Strong's Concordance. And it's the exact same word, 3117, translated always. In Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 1. And it refers to a day. It refers to a 24-hour period. A 24-hour period of time that is set in definite parameters of an evening and a morning. It's not forever and ever. So if we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 1, and we think about what the Lord is telling us here, He says, therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep His charge and His statutes and His judgments and His commandments always. And now we know how long always is. It's a 24-hour day. It's today. It's today. And that ought to be a blessing to us. It takes the burden out of that word. Obedience is measured in one-day increments. One-day increments. It's not measured in days and weeks and months and years, although that is the results of being obedient day by day. We only have to be obedient today. Today. And when this day is over, we only have to be obedient tomorrow. And when tomorrow is over, we only have to be obedient the next day. And the next day, and the next day. And the first thing you know, we've been obedient for a week. We've kept His charge and His statutes and His judgments and His commandments for a week. And then first thing you know, we've kept them for a month and then for a year. Folks, that's how we live the Christian life. One day at a time. One day at a time. That's why the Lord Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. It's how we build a testimony for the Lord. One day at a time. Being obedient one day at a time. And what's another way of saying that? Another way of saying that is loving the Lord one day at a time. The question this morning for those who are saved is, how are we doing? How are we doing on obedience? How are we doing on loving the Lord? In our recent studies of the times of Elijah, we've been talking about the rebuilding of Jericho during the reign of Ahab. We've seen that Jericho is a place that speaks to us of secular humanism. That was the religion of Jericho. God was walled out and excluded from Jericho. And as a result, we saw that it was accursed. It was appointed to utter destruction by God Himself. And He destroyed it. And He pronounced a curse upon the man that would rebuild that city. In 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 34, we read about the man who built Jericho again. His name was Hiel. His name has a very interesting meaning. And it has an unexpected meaning, considering the actions that he took. Hiel means the life of God. The life of God. Now think about it. Here's a man whose name means the life of God. And what does he do? In the face of the Word of God, he reveals this place that God cursed. This morning, I wonder how many of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior are doing exactly the same thing. If we're saved this morning, our name is Hiel. Because we have in us the life of God. And you might think today that you don't have any connection to Jericho. You better think again. God saved you out of Jericho. God saved you, if you are saved, out of secular humanism. Because there are only two religions in the world. Mr. Creech mentioned that this morning. Biblical Christianity and secular humanism. That's the only two. You're either a Christian today or you're a humanist. The religion of Jericho, the religion of this world, is secular humanism. And as a result, this world is accursed. It's fitted for destruction. And God says to His people, He gives them a command, love not the world. That's a charge. It's one of God's statutes. It's one of His judgments. It's one of His commandments that we're to keep always. Today. And then tomorrow. And then the next day. We're to keep it always. We're to keep it every day. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. That's just as plain as Joshua 6:26, where God says, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. And yet, in the face of that curse, in the face of that prophecy, Hiel rebuilt Jericho. And the Bible tells us that he laid the foundation thereof in his oldest son, and he set the gates in his youngest son. And I was reading the other day where there are Bible commentators who believe that that language means that his sons died during the rebuilding of Jericho. He lost his children during his disobedience. And yet in the face of God's command to us, how many believers, how many who have the life of God are rebuilding in their lives? Rebuilding in the lives of their children. The very place, the very things that God saved them out of. The only word that matters, the only word that matters in the lives of believers is the word obedience. It's the only word that matters. It's the only word that matters on January the 1st, 2006. It's the only word that will matter on January 1st, 2012. It's the only word that will matter when there should be time no more. Are we obedient to the Word of God? If we're looking this morning for a New Year's resolution, here's a good one. Be obedient. Always. Be obedient today. Today. You don't have to be obedient all year. Don't worry about that. Be obedient today. Beginning in verse 2, here in Deuteronomy chapter 11, Moses does something that you and I are probably doing, we have done on this particular day. On this particular day, on this day, Moses looks back. We tend to do that on the first day of the new year. Look back over the past year. Look back at things that have happened. Moses looks back. And as he looks back to the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt. He looks back to the most important event that ever happened in the lives of these people. Their deliverance from the bondage of Egypt. Turn back for just a minute to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. There's a verse here that has a real message for us, I believe, on this January 1st, this New Year's Day. Look at Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. I've read this verse many times and missed the fact that what the Lord is doing is declaring a new year for the nation of Israel. A new year. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And what marked the beginning of this new year was the Passover. What marked the beginning of this new year was the sacrifice of the Passover lamb and the applying of the blood of the lamb to the houses of the children of Israel. I couldn't help but think that when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we take our place as a sinner, when we repent of our sin, and by faith we offer to God the sacrifice that He's provided, the sacrifice of His own Son, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, God accepts that sacrifice. Just as He accepted the sacrifice of the Passover lamb there in Egypt. And He washes us from our sin in His own blood. He applies His own blood to our hearts. That's why He can say to us, as He said to the children of Israel, When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And He delivers us from the bondage of sin and shame and guilt that we've known all of our life. And He declares in our life a new year. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. On this particular day in Deuteronomy chapter 11, as the people of Israel stand on the threshold of going where they've never been before, Moses looks back to the only event that really matters. The application of the blood of the Lamb that delivered them from Egypt. As we stand this morning on the threshold of a new year, as we stand this morning on the verge of going where we have never been before, can you look back in your own life? Can you look back in your own life, not in someone else's life, but in your own life, to the only event that really matters? Can you look back in your own life to the time that the blood of the Lamb of God was placed on your heart? Can you look back to that day when God declared a new year in your life because you trusted Him as your Savior? Folks, being able to look back at our own deliverance from sin and death takes away the uncertainty of this place that we're going where we've never been before, this new year. It takes the uncertainty out of it. It takes the fear out of it. It doesn't matter what lies ahead in 2006. We know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, even death. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Paul lists all of these things, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, not life, not death, can separate us from the love of God. It takes all the fear of what life may be like for us on January the 1st, 2012. And all of the changes that might take place in our lives in the next 6 years. I think that it's significant that on this day, Moses takes these people back to the day when God declared a new year in their life. Has there been a new year declared in your life? God's the only one that can declare it. Are you saved today? Let's go back again to Deuteronomy chapter 11. And here in verse 2, something that Moses says as he speaks to these people. He says, "And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children which have not known and which have not seen." Moses says that he's not talking to people that have not known. He's not talking to people who have not seen the great works of God. And that's true in this meeting today. We are talking with people who haven't known the truth. We are talking with people who have never heard the gospel. On the contrary, we're talking to people this morning who know the gospel. We're talking to people this morning who can come up here and stand and give the gospel as good as any preacher that's living and breathing on the face of the earth. And yet some, perhaps, of the very people who can tell it so well have never humbled themselves and believed in their hearts the message that they know so perfectly well in their heads. I wonder if that's you this morning. It's been said several times in this church in recent months how horrible it would be to go to hell from Calvary Memorial Church. And there's a scriptural basis for that statement. Turn very quickly, if you like, over in the New Testament to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, the Lord Jesus gives several parables. He gives the parable of the rich fool. He gives the parables, a parable connected with His coming again. Beginning in verse 42, He gives the parable of the steward and his servants. And for the sake of time, notice verse 45 of Luke chapter 12. The Lord Jesus says, "But and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers." And that servant, listen very carefully to these next two verses. "And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required." Verse 47 says, "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes." That verse says that it is a terrible thing. It is an unimaginable thing to go to hell from Calvary Memorial Church. That's what that verse says. Because if you come here, you know the Lord's will. You know that God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners and that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know the Lord's will. And yet, in the face of all this truth that you know, you will not humble yourself and believe the message. And God says that because much has been given to you, much is going to be required. You're going to be beaten with many stripes. You're going to be in the hottest part of the lake of fire, the place where the torment and the agony and the suffering are going to be poured out without measure. And by the time that New Year's Day is on Sunday again, in the year 2012, you might be not here in this meeting or that meeting, rejecting again the gospel message. On that January the 1st, you may be suffering. Suffering the consequences of your rejection of God's provision for your soul. I'm not sure what kind of message that you expected to hear on this New Year's Day. I'm not even sure what kind of message I expected to preach. But in spite of our expectations, this is the message I believe that the Lord wanted preached. If you're lost today, God commands you. God commands you to repent. Acts chapter 17, if you want to turn over there. If you don't, I'll read it to you. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 says, Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, "In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth." What does He command? "But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He raised Him from the dead." God, this is one of His commands. Remember our text, Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 1. You're to obey His statutes and His charges and His judgments and His commandments. Here's a commandment to you if you're lost. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, to change their mind, to change their heart, to abhor themselves. To abhor what they are by nature, to abhor their sin and to turn from that sin to God and ask Him to save them. That's God's command to all men everywhere. Question is, have you been obedient? Have you been obedient? You can be this morning, right where you are. You can repent of your sin. And you can turn in simple faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to save your soul. It's as simple as the words in Luke chapter 18 of the publican there. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And He'll declare a new year. Wouldn't that be wonderful? To have on this day, the first day of the new year, 2006, not only be enjoying this beautiful New Year's Day, but to have declared in your life a new year because you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Obedience is the only word that matters. It's the only word that matters on this day. It's the only word that will matter January 1st, 2012. It's the only word that will matter when, as we find in the book of Revelation, there will be time no more. Today, always, is the day to be obedient. That's why God says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank You for this portion of Scripture. We read about, as Your people were standing on the verge of going where they'd never been before. And as we stand this morning on the verge of a new year, going where we've never been before, we pray that You would help those who are saved to have this word, obedience, seared into our minds and hearts. And the word, always, today, to be obedient. And we pray that You might speak to the hearts of any who are lost here today. Any who have never had a new year declared in their lives by the God of heaven because they've turned to Him in simple childlike faith and trusted Him to be their Savior. We pray that they might do that today, right now in this moment, because we know not what a day may bring forth. We thank You for our Savior. We thank You for His soon coming. And we want to be obedient day by day until You come. We pray that You would continue to bless this church and bless these people. We thank You for their faithfulness. We pray that You would bless this school as we start back again tomorrow. You would speak to the hearts of these young people. We thank You for Your great faithfulness to us in the face of our unfaithfulness. We pray that we would look to You in this coming year and be dependent upon You. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.